and welcome to the Trade Finance Distribution Initiative podcast, where we bring you the latest insights from the world of trade finance, featuring industry leaders, innovators who are shaping the future of global trade. I'm your host, Doris Kananovich, and today we're very, very thrilled to have Vikas Jha, who's the founder and managing director of Fineva. Now, Fineva has been gaining a lot of visibility recently in the trade finance space with solutions that address critical gaps for trade finance professionals, financial institutions, for corporates and SMEs alike. Today, we'll delve into the story behind Fineva and explore its role in the ever-revolving trade finance ecosystem and gain some valuable insights into the trends that are shaping the industry. Let's get started. Vikas, very welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Doris. It's a pleasure to be here.
Lovely to have you. All right, so for this first segment, we're going to be looking at the founding vision behind Fineva. Can you tell us how your story behind Fineva, the founding of Fineva, what problems were you trying to solve when you started this company?
So it was, thank you, Doris. I think what we were doing is, before this role, most of the founding members of the team were either in a bank or a fintech, and we're seeing that there was a lot of trade activity that was going around in UAE from that perspective. UAE, as you know, is a melting pot of trade from that perspective, because the trade from eastern part of the world goes to the west, to Africa. So it's a gateway from that perspective of trade zones. A lot of this trade is being done by SMEs. And our day-to-day work, when we were either a banker or a fintech provider or a corporate entity, while the opportunity was there, and as a banker, we also wanted to fund it. But because this used to be small ticket size, operationally very, very intensive, the cost to income ratio was never coming in. So there was always a need for a player which could bridge this gap. So something like a catalyst. And that's what we were seeing. And I had seen this in many parts of the world where fintechs were playing a very enabling role in bringing together this whole ecosystem so that this financing can be enabled from that perspective. Now, what we saw when we started Fineva was there was already documented reports where the trade finance gap was roughly about $250 billion in UAE alone. So it's a very, very large number. UAE is home to roughly about 500,000 SMEs who play a very, very critical role in enabling trade, not only in MENA region, but across the world. So a lot of trade from, say, China goes to Africa, India goes to Africa, from Europe goes to Asia. So all of that is being will handled in some way or the other by the SMEs in this part of the world. Then we started thinking about solutions. What are the possible solutions? Now, many of the players in the market today, what they were doing was they were digitizing. They were trying to, so fintechs, the role that they were playing largely was bringing technology to solve the piece. But the moment you go to SME world is not absolutely perfect from that perspective. Digitization does not always solve the last mile from that perspective. And we thought just digitization may not be able to address this whole gap from that perspective. So we set out to create a company which was originate to collect. So we became an operations company. So for the motto was that we will not just provide technology, but also every operational aspect so that it becomes easier for funders to finance this trade, easier for corporate to seek financing out of supply chain. And so the idea was to become a melting pot where operations, technology, and we become the eyes and ears of both the funders and customers. So we were bringing expertise, technology, and operations. So that was the whole genesis of where we thought there was opportunity, and we set out creating Fineva for that.
So basically simplifying the trade finance on corporate, simplifying the process for trade finance corporates, for SMEs as well, in one melting point. What's the process? How does this operation work?
So Doris, it's very interesting. This is a very wide era. I mean, if you go to, so it's very industry specific. The problem with supply chain always has been that every industry, every segment in that industry has a slightly different supply chain than that. So you cannot just copy paste it. So there has to be a certain amount of bespoke handling of the processes. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think most of the finances were it was difficult for traditional financiers to fund it, because you cannot keep on creating so many processes which were slightly different, because most organizations want to just replicate the same solution over and over again. So for example, if I would take, so if the way healthcare works in this part of the world or any other part of the world is very different from how a retail works, is very different from how education works, it's very different from how a technology industry works, because the dynamics of supply chain is very, very different. And the idea for us was, can we bring that data and document in a manner and expertise on that supply chain, so that it's easily consumable by the banks. So they know that there is a expert in the market who has done this part. They are bringing me data and document on the basis of which we can take a call. So three things we were very focused on. One is, we will create processes which are not standardized, which is bespoke, suited to the industry needs, so that our client needs are met from that perspective. Second, we will bring that expertise from the entire process flow, from origination to collection, so that there is not a process flow which is left. Okay, so there are players who just do origination, but they do not enable the banks to process it or collect on their behalf. We thought, okay, no, let's just do that part. So that's the second part of the solution. And third was technology. So we wanted to bring a technology which was being built by practitioners who have done this in the past. So it becomes easier. We speak the same language as funders. We speak the same language as the corporates. So it becomes much more easier for them to. So while they're handling a lot of supply chains, but still they're able to piece it in a cost-effective manner and are able to offer this solution. So that was the whole focus for us.
You've mentioned working with healthcare. Who are your primary clients, and what are the sort of unique challenges that you're seeing that they're coming to you with for solutions?
The challenge is all, so I think most of the businesses that we're talking about, if you just look at the numbers, they are very profitable businesses. The challenge is working capital. The challenge is that sometimes their receivable days are elongated. Say, while they have to pay their staff, their consumables in 30 days' time, the receivable cycle often tends to be 90 to 120 days. So that's the gap, or the working capital mismatch is what we seek to address. Now, in terms of healthcare, it's a whole host of healthcare service providers. It can be a hospital, a clinic, a lab, or a diagnostic center, or a pharmacy. So any of these healthcare providers where a consumer goes, seeks services, and then they have to claim their receivables from insurance company. From that perspective, this is a leg that we thought was an elongated chain. In UAE, for example, 80 to 85% of treatment in the healthcare industry, whether treatment of pharmacy or from a diagnostic center, is via insurance mode from that perspective. And because of this gap of receivable cycle, there was an opportunity for us to go. So most of these the service provider actually came to us saying that if you can somehow help us manage this working capital more efficiently by enabling or arranging financing upfront so that we can minimize this gap, it'll help us grow faster. So that is what we are trying to do there.
What has been some of the biggest challenges that you've faced so far working with these SMEs and working with, you know, trying to integrate a bit of technology, trying to integrate a bit of the solutions that you find for receivables within this space? What have been the biggest challenges that you've had to overcome?
I think the bigger challenge is the way the data is presented. Mm-hmm. So the point is that it's not standardized. So each industry has a very different challenge in that perspective. Now, when you go to a banker and a commercial organization, they are putting their money, they are taking a risk on that name. So they need a lot of verifiable data. So there is data in all sort and form, but data not where it enables them to take a call and be comfortable around it. So this is a factor. So how do we establish that trust between the customer and the bank is the biggest challenge that we face today. In this part of the world, open banking is still coming. I think government has announced plans to have open banking coming very, very soon. Once that comes, probably some of this part will be much more achievable because government will be able to share some of this data. But that, to me, is the biggest challenge. How do we convince the funder that the data that we're bringing to the table is verifiable? This is something where it is not... this is audited, somebody has looked at it, and they can trust that data because they would be lending money against that data. So that's the challenge from that perspective, because traditionally, I think in past, this has been a challenge. Banks have tend to trust on data which were not always correct from that perspective. So and that's where our role comes in. How do we create that trust between the, the customer and the funders from that perspective.
So with this comes the risk factors, obviously, for any business. I would want to ask you, you know, how you're navigating regulatory compliance, because it is honestly a challenge for a lot of institutions. You know, how you're leveraging technology now for partnerships. What role does regulatory compliance play in ensuring that, you know, you're following the right processes, that you are in enshrining that trust that you've mentioned with your clients as well here? And what challenges have you been able to navigate through when working through these complexities?
So I think the first call that we took was that we'll be regulated. So Fineva has two operating entities which are regulated. So we have a Category 4 company regulated by DFSA, which is in DIFC, which arranges documents and advises clients on what type of financing structure should be. And then we have a company, regulated company based out of Switzerland with the name Crescent, which is regulated by Polyreg SRO, but which in turn is regulated by FINMA. So we understand, so we are regulated by the same set of norms which the financier requires. Now, regulation has two complexities from an overall perspective. You see, regulatory compliance is today, means this is a reality. Means I think banks means are regulated entities. The regulators put a lot of onus to ensure that they are not funding people that they do not know much, too much of information about from that perspective. So there are two challenges that as a consumer, when you go to the consumer, there are two challenges they face. One is the onerous act of getting so many documents, okay? Second is the follow-up questions, okay? So many a times what happens is consumers go and the customers will go and deposit these documents, but banks will take their own time to analyze and come back. We try to bridge that gap. So what happens is because we are involved with the processes with each customer, we tend to understand their business and are able to ask this question fast. So from our own perspective, when we interact with funders, we are able to give that answers what the funders are looking for or their specific document and data in a much more effective manner. It's a challenge, okay, because it's changing every day, but we are trying to digitize. Fortunately, there are a lot of tools available right now.
Yeah.
So Fineva, for example, we are tied up with EFR, which is Embrace Facial Recognition System, where a lot of government data is. We have API connectivity, so that creates trust. We try to get a lot of data from large institution investors like Comply Advantage on Fido from that perspective. So we bring in the best of technology. Still requires a lot of physical touch. Sometimes you have to explain the questions to the customers on what the banks are asking. So trying to bridge that communication gap so that they understand and then they can provide that answer. So that is what we are trying to do. Hopefully, it will become simpler as we go. But as of now, it's a challenge, but we are trying to use technology and our own business development skill set to bridge that gap between funder and the customer.
I mean, it's something that you can't avoid, is it? Like, you have to have that human touch at some point, just so you feel like you're not talking to a machine all the time. And I think a lot of successful businesses are always able to find that happy medium between integrating technology and also having that human relationship with the client to make sure that they're following the processes. Fraud is one of the issues as well that critically comes up a lot of times. For risk management, as part of your risk management, you've mentioned, you know, using technology as well. Are you using AI? How are you using AI? And how are you addressing concerns around fraud? I know some companies are thinking about, you know, reporting and AI reporting tools that can help you detect certain things, that can help them access better KYC AML processes. You know, what's Fineva doing within this space?
So I think before going on technology solutions for, we do use a lot of AI from that perspective, and this is something is also in our development plans, how do we use it more and more so that it becomes much more effective. But in terms of fraud, I think understanding business is very, very important. And there's a human element that you talked about, Doris, from that perspective. So we are digital as well as physical. So in SME business, you cannot just do remote banking from that perspective. You need to meet the customer. You need to understand what their businesses are. Who do they trade with? So as a part of our onboarding process, we don't only onboard the supplier, but also the buyer. We understand a lot of documents. So when we onboard any customer, one is a compliance onboarding. Then there's a whole understanding of their trade business. We do a detailed ledger audit on what they have been doing, how much they have been selling or buying from that particular counterparty. In our system, there's a very detailed workflow. So we are transaction banker from that perspective. So every invoice is uploaded and there's a notification that goes to the buyer or the supplier, depending on where my customer, whether my customer is a buyer or a supplier. So their counterparties it goes to. So we do have checks initially when we onboard the customer, not only compliance, but the business onboarding, where we do a very, very detailed understanding of how their business look there, who they deal with, what is their general volume, what is their forecast. So we do a very detailed analysis of that. Second, at transactional scale. So when the transaction comes, there's a lot of system-generated validation checks that happens in our system. And we also ask questions on that perspective, whether this transaction in line, is it going to this customer? Is it normal in that nature from that perspective? Third part, what we have done is we are one of the very few fintechs which is also a member of the Hyphen network. Hyphen is a local network of 18 banks which addresses the concept of duplicate financing. So it's a blockchain consortium. Fineva is proud to be a member of that consortium, where every invoice that goes is checked against those 18 banks. Obviously, it's not foolproof because not every bank is a member there as of now, but it's an initiative from that perspective. So these are some of the parameters that we do. The last part before I move to technology part is this whole, the nature of the product. When you say supply chain, so whether a receivable side or a payable side of business. So if you do receivable finance, then you are financing against that invoice. So there's an underlying which is always visible and you can do. So there are mechanisms where you can call back the buyers. There are mechanisms to check whether these are genuine trades from that perspective. And these are granular transactions. So just to give you a sense, if I do $1 million transaction today, it will have close to about 100 to 150 invoices, maybe sometime even more. So these are granular transactions. It's not easy. So it's not a one shot 1 million going to somebody. It means each invoice will be probably 1,000, 2,000, 4,000, 5,000 type. So they have to really, it's a really onerous process for them to do from that perspective. So there are natural checks and balances on the product side. On the AI side, means we do use, so we have validation engines. So we are now developing that part. So any transaction that comes to our platform from perspective, so we do have a dedupe check. We do have checks in terms of whether these are invoices which are scaled in that perspective. Are they in the nature of this industry from that perspective? We do limit counterparty checks from that. Who the counterparty? Because counterparties are maintained in my system. From that perspective, you cannot just bring any counterparty from that perspective. This has to be from. So there are a lot of mechanisms which give that trust to the funder when the transition goes from this platform that at least the checks have been done. You cannot eliminate fraud, but actually you can manage it in a manner that it is near fraudless from that perspective.
That's good. I was listening to you talk about this. Obviously, there's a lot of conversations, there's a lot of meeting points between yourself and funders and yourself and clients. Are you incorporating any ESG principles into your solutions?
So we are working on that. Again, the whole idea is how do we assess the impact of what we do? So today, Fineva very purposefully offers its services when we originate the transactions. So these are in four sectors. These are healthcare, education, technology and food. Now, if you look from a World Bank SDG goals, this impacts 6 out of 17 goals from that perspective. We are working with few banks to have a monitoring system or a scoring system where we can judge the impact of the solution or the impact of the solution from the scorecard, the sustainability scorecard that they have. So this is a work in progress. Given that we have selected sectors where we operate, which are very socially very important sectors from that perspective, most of what we do tend to either enable more employment, better food security, more education from that perspective, better digitization, access to digitization from that perspective. So these are actually some of the, if you go to any sustainability framework, in most organizations, these are some of the core principles around which the frameworks are determined. But yeah, we are working right now with a few institutions to create scorecards or impact scorecards so that we can they can also track what is happening against that. So we are actually consistently working on promoting that part.
And looking ahead, what are the next plans for Fineva? Are there any exciting projects or partnerships or milestones that you'd like to share that are coming up?
So lots. I think we have just begun from that perspective. I think the biggest challenge for us is access to finance. How do we create that that part? I think UAE is still developing. I think I was just reading somewhere there are close to about 4,000 fintechs who are operating in B2C and B2B space in UAE, and more will be coming in. Now, our idea is to become a catalyst. So we are right now in the process of working and signing up partners with many banks, many private credit, many customers, many organizations which provide data and services. We know that we cannot do everything on our own. So we are trying to become that melting pot where we can bring those parties together from a perspective and enable such trades for our customer. In terms of, so I think the focus for us is UAE for the next couple of years. But the idea for us is to grow from here to MENA, to regions, other GCC and MENA countries from that perspective. And be in this space, which is supply chain, receivable finance, be expert in the industry that we promote. So that is what we are doing. From a perspective, we are today live with a few banks, banking partners, where we provide our technology and operation services. We are live with more than 20 customers in this part of the world, and we are onboarding every day from that perspective. So I think where we are from a journey perspective, the biggest challenge for us, or what we're looking for, is how do we scale this up fast? Whatever we do from a perspective, how does that impact the lives of our customer? And again, from a financing partner perspective, can they make a meaningful business sense out of whatever services we are providing? So can this be a scaled up supply chain solution for them, which actually makes a significant difference to their bottom line from that perspective?
That's amazing. And one question, obviously, as I like to ask when I have a leader of a business in the room, what would be one piece of advice that you would give to a corporate or a financial institution that is looking to optimize their trade finance operations?
So I think it's basics. Trade finance is because there's so many counterparties, it can't be very complicated. The focus should always be on the value. Sometimes what happens is technology is good, and we are a fintech. We promote technology from that perspective because technology is an enabler. You cannot just have sometimes technology just hijacking the real purpose of why that product was being offered. So sometimes keeping it simple is the solution. There are a lot of developments which are happening right now. Means obviously there are players who will do that. There's a real problem today. Means we're talking about 250 billion gap in UAE. 1.5 trillion across the world, and these numbers are understated by all the gap is much more from that perspective. So these are real number. There's a real opportunity today. So the idea is to be open. The world is a place where I think we can now, thanks to technology, collaborate in a better manner from that manner. So the idea is to keep it simple, be focused about what the actual solution that we were all looking for. Technology, if technology solves, it's great. If physical touch solves, it's great. If it's just process optimization and that solves the process, that is also great. So I think we should be open to solutions which can solve the problem and take it step by step. One day, hopefully, everything will be digital.
Yeah, so keep it simple, focus on the solution, keep an ear to the ground to see what's happening. Be open to innovation and see if it works for you or if it doesn't. Vikas, before I let you go, as part of our new trend for the TFD Initiative podcast, I'd like to ask one question in this segment we call Trade Secrets. So if you may, I'd like to pick a question from 1 to 30. Just pick any number.
Say 15.
15, okay. What is your favorite book or movie that has shaped your approach to leadership?
Yeah, so there are quite a few of them. And I think I read a lot of books from that perspective. So there was a book known as Goal by Lihal Goldratt. I read that in my management days. It broke down every problem statement into achievable goals. I think which I also correlate with what we do today. The problem is huge. The problem has always been there. But if you start making bite-sized impact and start measuring that, you will move forward. That's the overall goal. Sometimes it may be very daunting as a project, as a task. But if you can just break it down into smaller pieces and try to achieve one by one, I think that's the solution that the I think will make a meaningful difference in whatever we are trying to achieve. So that to me is one book that I have read 2-3 times. And the way the book is written is beautiful. It's easy read. It delivers the message very, very carefully. It's not very preachy, but tells you a story which I think is the need of the hour. I think we are solving problems which are not today's problem. These are problems which have always been there. And the problem, given whatever is happening in the world, will aggravate as we go forward. So I think it's important to be considerate, solve them small bite size at a time.
All right, definitely be looking that up, goals. All right, thank you, Vikas, for sharing your incredible journey and your work at Fineva and what you're doing to transform the trade finance landscape. To our listeners, if you're intrigued as I am about Fineva's mission, please do make sure to follow their journey and stay connected to the latest in trade finance innovation. Thank you so much, Vikas.
Thank you, Doris. Thank you.
All right. This has been the Trade Finance Distribution Initiative podcast. Did I forget to wish you a Happy New Year? I did forget. Happy New Year to everyone out there. I think this is a perfect podcast to welcome in the new 2025 and give you the best advice you can get. And even a book on top of it that you can look forward to, goals that you look forward to reading to enhance your business. My name is Doris Kananovich. Until next time, keep shaping the future of trade finance together. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back.